want to look at something very fascinating. It's quite fascinating for me. So if you have heard it before, me teaching this somewhere, just pretend like you have not. Is that okay? Matthew chapter 4. How many of you have ever imagined how it felt to be one of the 12? Growing up, one of the things I had was this vivid imagination. I put everything into real life. And so much that sometimes I go to, there's a motel beside our house. Amfani Motel, you know Amfani Motel? It's closed now. You don't have the motel again. The owner got saved and closed there. Turned it to, is it school or something? I'm talking about, this has been years ago. So I used to go there. I'll go there, pick, what do you call it, canters. What's canters now? The cover of stout or beer or whatever that they've drank. Or Coca-Cola then. And then I'll make them my students. It's very funny. And I'm talking about 1997, 1996, 8. I'll make the canters my students. And then I begin to give them report cards. Now don't laugh. How do I know who took first? If it's star, S is 19. Coca-Cola will always fail because C is 3. And so sometimes I say, I'll calculate the first letter and the last letter. That's your report. You know, just random nonsense imagination. And growing up, that began to also form even the way I read the scripture sometimes. Now, I don't read the scripture with saying Judas is 10. J should be what now? 10? Sorry, A is 1. So if J, I don't know whatever that is. And sometimes when I read, and maybe that's why I get to reread and reread, because the stories in the scriptures can be so fascinating. And you wonder, how did he look like? And one of the things, one of the people who have put myself in their shoes is the 12. Funny enough. Except Judas. That'd be a waste of. I don't want to commit suicide. Amen. Amen. You want to? Oh, nobody wants. Even the people who need help and who are suicidal in thoughts, they don't want to. I recall one of my friends wanted to commit suicide one time. So he put rope around his neck. And he said, the rope is too tight. I said, ah. So we entered the room and we're like shouting, say, thank God that we should help him remove the rope. I'm serious. No, that was an enlightened note. He said, the rope is too tight. I said, what were you trying to do before? He said, keep myself, but I thought about it again. It's going to be painful. I was not ready to die. So I put myself in the shoes of the 12. Very nice. You've got Jesus sitting across the table. He can read your heart. You don't need word of knowledge. You don't need word of wisdom. It's right there in front of you. You're thinking about backsliding. He's looking at you like this. You know, that joke where Peter said, Jesus, is it me, Jesus? One of you is going to betray me. Then Peter said, is it me, Jesus? And Judas said, is it me, Jesus? And Jesus said, yeah. Is it me, Jesus? It's you. You know, it can read your heart. He sees everything. How many of you will give the world up to be in that shoe? I will. I'm telling you, I will. Anyone? What the 12 experienced, no human ever experienced it since Adam. Not even Abraham. So it's quite a fascinating position to be. Well, let's look at one of their stories, Matthew chapter 4. And the impressive thing is that they didn't submit CV. So it wasn't like a group of qualified folks where Jesus had already looked at their qualifications and said, nah. Then he has now streamlined it to 12 and then said, oh, you guys are qualified. No. Among them, you are the most ridiculous people you ever think about. The tax collector, the fisherman, Judas. Two Judases, actually. Fine. One is not taking carrots. Just kidding. Matthew 4, are you there? Verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And they straightaway left their nets and followed him. Interesting. Saw two brothers fishing. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightaway left their nets and followed him. It's quite interesting to follow someone that does not have a destination in mind. I recall him telling one of his disciples, he said, birds have nests, foxes have holes. The Son of Man has no place to put his head. What is he telling you? No destination. Why are we following you? You know, sometimes you follow people and then you know where they're going to, right? This is the journey and then we have this goal. This is the goal we have in mind though. Once we reach the goal, fine. But how interesting is it to follow someone who is not going anywhere? You saw them fishing? Follow me. They left their nets. Let me just say this one. God is quite interested. We said it in the teaching we just concluded. Did God ignore me? Unanswered prayers, where we looked at when God is silent and all that. And told you God is more interested in the journey than the destination. Because the journey makes you. Oftentimes, as humans and as men, we are more interested in the journey, the outcome, what's going to happen, what's happening, what will be the end result of this. And God is saying, nah, I'm not as interested in the end as I am in the journey. Interesting. They've been called without an explanation. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I bet you my bottom dollar, they don't know what that means. Fishers of men, whatever that means. You saw a miracle? Peter was trying to fish. No fish came all night. Jesus came, borrowed my boat. Then he says, throw the net into the right side. They threw the net. Fish came. Said, I'll follow you. What's the point? He followed without an explanation. That's not what we were going to. No class, no membership class, no onboarding. He just followed. 12 people at different stages of their lives. Sometimes they didn't even understand what he was saying. Sometimes they didn't even understand what he was saying. For example, in John 6, you know, where he multiplied the loaves. And he had 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, probably about 20,000 people. And Jesus multiplied bread, asked all of them to sit and everything. And he began some weird teaching. Some very weird teaching about flesh, eating his flesh, drinking his blood, something like that. How many of you would have... You feel weird. Imagine coming here and say, you know what? You're going to eat my flesh. And say, like a joke I heard some time ago. Someone gave a guy his baby. He doesn't like babies. So someone said, please help me hold the baby. He said, nah, I'm a vegetarian. Very ridiculous joke. Now, please. That's a very bad, bad joke. Where am I? So he started this weird sermon. You eat my flesh. They didn't understand. So when it was done, people left. They left him because they didn't understand what he was saying. Give us bread. Give us daily bread. They told us that you multiply yesterday. Now to multiply again, you're telling me it's my own turn. You know, sometimes you feel like you're out of luck. They gave a blender and a microwave yesterday. It was at the same spot. Now, me, I've come here. You're telling me about you. We do good roads. Which one is good roads? which one is good road? Where's my own blender? And they came again. You only you has the bread of life. Give us this bread. Give us this bread. They said, I am the bread. You eat of my flesh. You drink of my blood. They didn't understand. When everybody left, remained the 12, Jesus asked them, will you also leave? And Peter, of course, always having the right response, most times. He said, where will we go? Only you have the word of life. Interesting. I'll probably stay on that another day. Only you have the word of life. And so you have these guys. This is their background. They follow without an explanation. They don't even understand what he's saying most times. Remember when he gave the parable of the sower and the seed? And he said, the sower went to the field to sow. And the disciples are doing like this. And Jesus said, okay, that's it. Then I said to him, Master, that thing you were saying the other time, what is the meaning? So, while they were doing pastors and ushers, they didn't even understand the sermon. You just say, you two, you don't understand. It shows you the kind of life they were living. They didn't even understand what he was saying most times. So they followed without an explanation. They didn't understand him most times. They saw the miracles. They were stunned, astonished. Probably enough to have them mystified all their life. And he just said, follow me. Let's read again. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon and Peter. Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straight away they left their nets and followed. Now, normally being a fisherman means that oftentimes it's something you inherit. You know, it means your father was doing it, your great grandfather was doing it, your great great grandfather was doing it. So oftentimes you pass the culture, you pass the skill, you pass the tools, the boats, the net, the hook, the line, the sinker, everything. You pass it to your children. Is it making sense? That's the Jewish culture. So, for example, you saw Jesus also inherits the carpenter work. So, it started with Joseph the carpenter. Then later, I said, is this not Jesus the carpenter? Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? That's the Jewish culture, oftentimes. So, if that were true today, what would you be doing now? What was your dad doing? My dad is a technician. He fixes ACs and fridges and freezers. And so, our former apartment, if you get there, oh my God. Hey, why you've been there before? Huh? In the front, what do you see? Different sort of freezers and some of them far back as 89. Why are you keeping it? He said, if the owner comes now, I don't want to start. The owner is probably not alive. And he keep it with their wires and their sometimes we cover with tarpaulin. There are some of them I saw for 20 years straight of my life. What's this freezer still doing here? The freezer came to the world before me. You know, I wonder. So that's why. Maybe if I was were Jews, the church would not need to pay anybody to fix AC. I'll be doing that. That's not the case. What will you be doing? A trader. What will you doing? A doctor. What will you be doing? Huh? Entrepreneur. What will you doing? You are already doing it. Okay. And that's what it means to be a fisherman. So when you read it, pay attention. There's a reason why I went there. They left their nets and they followed him. They were not just leaving a job. They were breaking a cycle. Something that probably would have caused family drama. This is what you're meant to give to your kids. Now you're stopping it. Say, why? They said, the reason is all good. Say, what is the reason? Say, Jesus. Say, where exactly are you guys going? We don't know. What's he going to do to you guys? We don't know. How long will you follow him? We don't know. He just said, follow me. Can we speak in tongues a bit? Amen. So, we understand their lives now. They were on their own. Then a certain man called Jesus came, broke family ties, did a lot of things. Follow me, no explanation, nothing. Then he came to the last week of Jesus' life, as it were, in John 14. I just want to show you something. So just put that in mind. And the following was worth it. At least you don't have to buy food. They just went somewhere in one corner multiplying bread. What a life. He said, oh Lord, my God, I need shawarma. Your prayer is not going to heaven. It's going just to the next room. I would love that one. Lord God. You know, when you're speaking in tongues, you want to break heavens. I need disciples. Just go. Come, you're Jesus. You know, this is Jesus here. He's just doing something, communicating with the Father or something like that. And you're looking for disciples. I need Jesus. I need disciples. Let me take you to outreach. How interesting was their lives? That disciple that does not listen sometimes. He said, tomorrow I'm bringing Jesus to your house. He said, I'm not coming tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm coming with Jesus. He said, what do you mean? Jesus. We are here. He said, who and who? Jesus and Judith. JJ. I said, thank you. So then, that's what I'm saying. Then he came to the almost the last week, and I want you to pay attention. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you keep my commandment. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not, nor know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So Jesus is talking about another person now. You call them without an explanation. You took them all lifelong, albeit with miracles, signs, and wonders. You taught them the word of life. You taught them to pray. And now you are saying, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, the word comforter, or another helper, is the same word. Some of you have helper, some of you have comforter. It's the same word, paraclete or parakletos in the Greek. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. Parakletos. Someone who comforts. In some versions of the Greek, they will put it as a legal advocate. But he uses a very key word there. It says another comforter. Another comforter. And another can be two things, right? I remember teaching this in 2017. You remember? Okay. Another can be two words. So, you see this chair I have in front? They gave me a chair. And the one you are sitting, what do both do? They make you, they help you to sit, right? So, they are both chairs, the same function, but yours is another chair, right? It's another kind of chair. Fine, we are both going to sit down, but we are not sitting down on the same chair. So that's another. But that's not what he used. What he's saying is, that word another is a replica. The same comforter. For example now, both of you, are you sitting on the same kind of chair? But this is another chair. Right? But it's the same way, the same structure, the same company. Is it making sense? Oh, good. So when Jesus uses that word, it's word allos. H-A-L-O-S. Allos parakletos. Allos is the same. He's not sending another person. He's saying, this exactly, no variation. There will be a seamless transition in what you're about to experience. Another comforter. It's interesting. So they've been seeing him. Remember, he called them from the booth, right? He called them, he fed them, he taught them. They walked together. They raised men together. If they want to talk to God, they go to the next room. At a point, there was a storm. They wanted to talk to God. They didn't go for prayer vigil. They just went to the booth and they woke God up. They woke God up, say, hi God, there's a storm. That's good, right? That's nice. I would do anything to just have best of both worlds. Sincerely, wake God up. Say, nah, I'm hungry. You say you don't leave your children. I want God school fees, and you are here. School fees. That's any of charge. Will you go there and talk to the? Say the heart of the king is in your hand. Go and meet the king. But now he's saying another. Another. But don't forget, we said the another is exactly the same person. Fascinating that he told them that you know him. He said, look at it in verse 17. He said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world cannot see, neither do they know him. Look at your Bibles, please. But you know him. But you know him. He's telling them they know what they don't know they know. They don't even know they know him. They don't even know they know him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Verse 18 now says, I will not leave you. What will happen? Read it again. John 6, 14, 18. Can we all read it together? Want to go? Where's your Bible? Do you have a Bible? Share with your neighbor. Everybody wants to go? John 14, 18. Want to go? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So the comforter will be the same person, the same Jesus. He's not sending another. He says, I will not leave you, I will come to you. Interesting. Look at John 16. So suddenly, the narratives are changing. We had God within arm's reach. Then he's saying, in verse chapter 16 now, verse 4, but these things have I told you. When the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, where do you go? But because I have said this thing, sorrow has filled your heart. Of course, they followed you. Sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter, don't forget, who is the comforter? The same helper. The one who they had with them, but they will have in them. So the another will be a change, not of person, a change of location. I am with you, but I will be in you. That is the another. Okay? I'll read verse 7 again. John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, that's the word expedient. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. It is to your advantage that I go away. I said the other time, I said, in Eden, God will come to talk to Adam. Absolute paradise. The God who is everywhere will now be somewhere with Adam. And since Adam, nobody had it till the 12th. Where the God who was everywhere is now somewhere. The God of the earth is right by my side. Look at that. It was the tree of life walking with them. The atmosphere of heaven itself collided with the earth. I don't know if you're feeling what I'm feeling. God Almighty himself, the God who is omnipresent, who is everywhere, is now right sitting beside them. Absolute advantage. That's some ridiculous, ridiculous advantage for any man. They had a tree of life walking by their side. Imagine it. God himself within reach. Then he says, then he breaks the ice. Then he says, it's to your advantage that I go. How can that be an advantage? He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. If there was something they didn't comprehend, forget the 5 loaves. Forget all the miracles. Forget money in the mouth of the fish. If there was something they didn't understand, it's this one. How can it be an advantage to go? Jesus, you are right here beside us. You told us to leave the boats, to leave the nets, to leave the fishes, to follow you. That's what you said. To follow you. Now we have followed you. We followed you for 3 years. And then suddenly, you are going to go. And Jesus is saying, this my leaving is the best thing that can happen to you. God himself, face to face. And he says there's something better than that. Can we speak in tongues a bit? There are things that need to sink in. Jesus, tonight, show me yourself. The depth of your word and the inspiration it brings, help me to receive it. Amen. I don't know if you get the background of the story. These guys were with Jesus. 3 years plus. They had him, touching him. They ate together. They fed together. Slept in the same boat. Preached together. Healed the sick together. They had everything. Heaven, earth, in the same place. The beauty of heaven right beside them. And then he comes and says, if I go, that's a plus for you. That there's something better than having me here. And he said, that is to be in you. To give you another comforter. Don't forget, allos.
the same me will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I say this way, why don't we feel it's an advantage? Why does it not seem like an advantage? I must admit, are there times that I want God to sit right across the table and then we talk? Yes. Oh, are there times where I just want to speak face to face? Yes. And Jesus is saying, that's not the height. You know, if a man wants to glorify his ministry right now and wants to show superiority that he's with God and he has to worship God, he'll tell you, I saw God, we sat face to face. And Jesus said, you know, that's low. So there's a reality that makes that looks cheap. There's a reality that makes that one looks cheap. You don't thought, oh, if I come to the church this evening and I told you that right in the office where I stay, I just finished talking to Jesus right across the table. You say, oh, that means pastor is. And Jesus is saying, no. There's something more advantageous. It is expedient for you that I go away. Why don't we see it that way? Something is wrong. Something needs to change and it's not in. That means we are missing something in our walk and fellowship. He said we have something better than having him sit right here in the room. We have something better than having him sit right here beside you. And he calls it the Holy Ghost. It's not a feeling. It's not a spooky. It's not a spooky object. It's a person. He said he's with you. If we do not see it as better, maybe we are not living to the fullness of what he wants us to live. I'll share a story with you. It happened to me while I was on campus. So, there was this time I didn't have any cash on me. Now, if I say there's this time, there were many times on campus that happened. Many times, and thank God for that. So one of those times where you fast, you know, just take automatically fast. And it's almost the irony. There's really nothing fast about a fast. Fast are always slow, right? It's the automatic irony. You're fasting, but it's slow. And apparently, there was someone who was owing me money. And he had sent it to my account, my GT account. And I did not know. And I was still on this, my autopilot fasting, where you don't know where you break. You just know you're fasting and you're praying. And first day, I really didn't have anything to break. You know, just take anything that you see. You know, all those one billa. What are you eating? Let me taste. Is this sweet? It's not about is this sweet or not. You just want to take 2 spoons. Amen. Take 2 spoons. Go and drink water. Amen. God has met your need. And that was what I did first day. Second day, yeah, same thing. So the third day, I met this brother. I said, please, I cannot go this to the third day. Give me my money. And he said, I've done that since Monday. I said, oh, I don't know. I did not know. So I went to the ATM. I checked. Oh, it's true. But what happened? I had the money all along. But I did not use it because I did not know and I did not pursue it. So a man can have something and is not living in the reality of what he has. It is expedient for you that I go away. That's what Jesus said. He said, we would have thought that the highest level of Christianity would be to have Jesus right in front of you drinking a cup of tea. That would be the highest level. I just drank a tea with Jesus. I just finished speaking with Jesus. When I was brushing my teeth, Jesus was beside me. We're talking another. That would be like, oh, man of God. And Jesus said, no. There's a reality that is higher that makes that look cheap. He said, and that is what you have. The Holy Ghost, a seal of your salvation. In Ephesians 1:13, he calls it a seal of your salvation to the day of redemption. Ephesians 1:13. You learning something? Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ? That's the word believe. You were trusted there. In whom you also believed. After you heard the gospel of truth. the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Also, after you had believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Look at that. He said, we were sealed with the Holy Ghost, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest is a down payment. So I want to get a bag. I don't have the full payment now. Not that sometimes I have, but you are making the bag for me, right? So I want to get a bag. What do? I give you a down payment. The bag is 49,000 naira or 59,000 naira. And I give you, why did I say 59,000 naira? I don't know. Then I give you 25,000. I don't know how much down payment people make. Well, I'll give you 40,000 naira out of 60,000 naira. And I say, that's a down payment to show you that I will come back to get my bag. And he calls the Holy Ghost. He said, that is the down payment of our inheritance in Christ. Look up. It means God gave you the Holy Ghost to get you familiar. There are things we are going to experience. It will take eternity to understand. And he gives you the Holy Ghost so that you don't be at shock. He says, it is your advantage. It is to your advantage that I leave. That I go. Why don't we feel that way? Why do we feel it's better to have him holding? Why are you crying and he's just comforting you? Jesus said, nah, that's not better. It's your advantage that I go. No, we are heirs of God. And I said, the Holy Ghost is the down payment of what it will take eternity to understand. There's so much purpose in the believer, so much ability in the believer, that having Jesus right in your hands is inferior. There is so much going on right in the inside of you that you holding Jesus hand to hand is inferior to it. It's inferior to it. And that's why I asked us to pray the other time. Because these sort of things, it takes the Holy Ghost himself for you to understand. So much going on in. So much going on in. The apostles must have been stunned, shocked. How can you say you? We had you when we could not pay our taxes. You told us to go to the mouth of the fish, pick money, pick a fish. Money will be in the mouth. That was what you said. And I doubted it. Fine. Thomas said, I doubted it. But we saw the fish, we took the fish, we opened the mouth, and there was money. The other time, you multiplied bread. The other time we went to Lazarus, it was meant to be a funeral. It became another birthday. You raised him from the dead. Absolute advantage. Anytime in the world, it's an absolute advantage to have Jesus right beside you. And then he says, all of that is inferior to something else. Oh Lord, help us to understand this. And sometimes you just look at what we call Christianity and you wonder. It just makes you wonder. What exactly are we doing? Jesus says, what you have is superior. God is within reach. He's not far away. He's not somewhere far away. And then sometimes, maybe that's why we don't pray effective prayers. So you just see people just want to go, shut up about it. You just want to. Are you actually praying? What you've got is worth dying for. God will come in the cool of the evening. Talk to Adam. Remember the way I put it? The God who is everywhere is now somewhere. He would come to Adam and they would talk. And he's telling you right now, that is inferior to what the believer has. No wonder Paul prayed that prayer in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Oh my God. In verse 14, he says, the earnest of the inheritance, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. He said the Holy Ghost is that down payment of the things we are going to experience in life eternal. It's almost like your introductory course. That's the Holy Ghost. He said that's the down payment. It's the proof that there is more. The Holy Ghost is the proof that there is more. Then he goes in verse 15. because of this. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, Paul now says to the church, after he told them of this magnificent truth, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is, after all these ones, the only way you can see what I'm saying is that God gives you the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of him. Revelation means an opening up. That he opens up what you need to know about him. Because I tell you, a lot of Christians will still give anything up to be with Jesus in arms, to have him present in your sitting room. And he's saying, that's inferior. You see, to see what you really have. Verse 18 says, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. That is, you look at how Paul is putting it. He said, the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in you. Part of that inheritance is the Holy Ghost. Down payment. He says, I'm praying to God that you will know. Verse 19. And that you will see what is the exceeding greatness of his power. The exceeding greatness of his power. Hyperbalon megatos. Hey. That is how it surpasses. I love the way Renard Bonnke always put it. I don't know if he got that from Brehagen, or Brehagen got that from him. But he says, it's like wanting to kill an house fly in a room, and then you put a bomb. That power is too much for an house fly. He says, that's what it means when he says, exceeding greatness of his power. That is, what you have on the inside supersedes what you will ever need. But are we living like that? That you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And you, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And you, he begins to describe what the believer has on the inside. He says, remember when he called them from the boats. Remember how magnificent the experience was. They worked miracles. Their needs were met. Things happened. Lives changed. Things were turned around. Situations turned around. He said, but there's something bigger. It is to your advantage I go, so that I can send you another comforter. Then he says, don't forget, you know him. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And you will wonder, so why are you going? Why are you going? You will not leave us comfortless. You will come to us. Why are you going? They say, no. I will go so that I don't longer have to be with you, but I have to be in you. What a reality we ought to walk in. What a life he has called us to live. And like I said, if it doesn't look like that, you need to look at the inside. If it doesn't look that way, you need to look on the inside. You need to look on the inside. You need to take a second look. You need to take another look at what God has put in you. May I see and behold the riches of God's glory in us. We began to see it in the Acts of the Apostles. They now began to understand gradually. On the day of Pentecost, while they were gathered in one accord, praying, suddenly there appeared on each of them cloven tongues as of fire, Suddenly there came a mighty rushing wind, and they began to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And many heard in their own tongue the wonderful works of God. And men came to them. He said, these guys are drunk. And Peter, standing up with the 11, said, who gets drunk in the night hour? We are not drunk. This is that was spoken about, that Prophet Joel spoke about. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That's what is happening now. And while he was talking, Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. And they asked, men and brethren, what can we do? And Peter said, repent. In that very day, 3,000 souls were won. They began to understand, it is to your advantage that I go. It is your advantage that I go. Before you know it, Peter and John were going to the temple, and at the beautiful gate, the gate called Beautiful, there was a lame man, lame from birth, and he begged them for money. And Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll give to you. They began to understand, it is your advantage that I go. They would have called Jesus. There's a man that is lame. What do you want to do? But now, Peter is saying, there's something I have. It's on the inside. My pockets can't hold it. My house cannot contain it. It's on the inside. Oh, believer, it's on the inside. It's on the inside. Oh, believer, it's on the inside. Oh, believer, it's on the inside. Oh, believer, it's on the inside. Do not let the devil shift your gaze. Don't let the devil shift your gaze. It's on the inside. Don't let the devil shift your gaze. It's on the inside. Do not be distracted. It's on the inside. What God gave you is within. It's in. It's somewhere the world cannot touch. They began to understand. They began to understand. Oh my God. They began to understand. In Acts 8, Philip went. He went to the city. And he got everyone saved. Bible says, as such that there was so much joy in the city. So much he had to call Peter and John to come lend. Oh, it's on the inside. They began to understand. It is your advantage that I go. They began to understand. He started ringing the bell. It is your advantage that I go. It's your advantage that I go. There came Paul. There came Paul. There came Paul to the scene. And on one of his trips, a viper fastened itself to Paul's hands, poisonous as it may. And Paul shook off the beast. And what do you think rings? It is to your advantage that I go. And they brought in the sick. The sick, the maimed, the lame, the helpless and the poor. And Paul said, I cannot lay my hands on everyone. And so he sent out handkerchiefs. They began to understand, it is to your advantage that I go. It's on the inside. It is on the inside. Oh, my car to see the path to the kitty bone, the skinny partners. Oh, it is to your advantage that I go. I ask and receive tonight that we begin to walk in the fullness of his plans for us, in the fullness of his power in us and through us. That we begin to see as we ought to see. How do I walk in this? Your pursuit sometimes determines how much you go. I told you on Sunday, do you remember? And sometimes it moves to the extent which you move. It says, draw to me and I'll draw near unto you. That's what he said. Sometimes it moves to the extent which you move. How much are you paying of attention are you paying to this reality? We have believers who just think the time you call on the name of Jesus is when you have a need. So I just go into the room and I call it a prayer room, I call it a war room, whatever you want to call it, and then I just sit there and I just say, God, please help me. That's cheap. Oh, it's cute. question. He says, even if you have Jesus in your room, sitting right on the chair there, say, that's cheap to what you have now. And don't be like me. When money was sent, and I was still starving. We need to start making use of what God has put in us. There is something on the inside. I said this 2019, and I said, I believe the church is yet to work in 2%. Two. I've seen the miracles. I've read. Idaosa, Babalola, Pius G. Elton. I've read everything. God's generals. And I still stand that the church is yet to work in 2% of what God will have us do. We are yet to be there. We are yet to be there. I had the privilege of speaking to a pastor from New Zealand, Netherlands. Last two weeks, one of the weekends. And we're talking about the move of the Spirit. It was like he listened to one of our teachings. When the Holy Ghost flows, something around that. I said I cannot really recall because I renamed those teachings the same thing. It's the same thing. I just renamed them. And he said, I said that there is more to this. I said, I myself am finding out that there is more to what God is doing. There is more. There is more. There is more. There is more somewhere. So much that he puts the Holy Ghost as a down payment. You need to look at what the Holy Ghost is doing in the earth today. You need to look at the miracles and wonders, the signs that shake nations. And he's saying that is upfront. He says that is upfront. No wonder Paul called it exceeding greatness of his power. I try to wrap my head around that, those words. They are majestic. Exceeding greatness of his power. Show me, Lord Jesus. 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 Oh, there's an aspect of our faith life that is reserved for those who will break cycles, who will leave their boats and nets for a journey, an inheritance in God. An inheritance. Ooh, they will just forsake nets and boats and hooks and lines and sinkers for what God alone can do. I believe these are the generations that serve you, O God of Jacob. I believe that one. I believe this is that generation. I believe this generation is with a gift only a king can give. I believe there is something on the inside that needs to find expression quickly. This is why daily we need to discover new depths and heights. We need to walk in what he has called us to. There is so much in the believer that the Holy Ghost is a down payment for. There is so much. Oh my God. Open my heart wide enough to see the deposit, the depth of what you are doing. Paul will say it in Ephesians 3. He said that we may know the height, the depth, the width. He knows. He was finding expressions to the measurement. He was finding how you can contain it. He didn't know. Just that we may find out the depth, the height, the breadth, the width of what God is doing today. You Babylon. Exceeding greatness of his power. Exceeding greatness of his power. Pray for yourself tonight. Oh Lord Jesus, you are within reach. unmatched advantage. That's what we have right now. Absolute heaven. Amen. Open your Bible to Ephesians 1. That's a prayer we pray for ourselves. What Paul just prayed now. I believe now you understand that prayer better. Verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, make mention of you in my prayers. This is the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation that reveals him. That he may give me the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the height of my understanding is enlightened. Let's take that. See, we cannot take all those prayers at once. Sometimes I don't know how we take at once. This is a 1 year prayer. So we take it in bits. Father Lord, the wisdom of your Spirit, revelation that sees you, that the eyes of my understanding be flooded with light. Pray for yourself.